up there, down your head.
Feel more comfortable down here, please. Can you hear me without the microphone? Okay.
Can you hear me now? Oh, okay. I love the prayers that that you guys pray. They're distinct and to the point. I almost can feel God. I hear you guys pray. I want to tell you about a little boy that's been searching for a long time to see what a man is. And asking God to show him. I was raised up in a rough family. My mother was a godly mother. Most of you know she went home last Sunday night. I grew up in a family that of cowboys, rodeoing, and I was taught how to be tough, how to be hard, and I learned well. And God said, "This is not it, son." And I couldn't hardly hear him, but I heard him. "This is not it." So in high school, I started playing basketball and baseball, and God gifted me in that. And God once again said, "This is not it, son. This is not it." So I turned to music. And I played rock and roll. Played the bars for many years. And each time, in each one of these things, I was asking God to make me great, make me a star. And he said, "No." And I felt cheated every time. Every time I felt cheated. He had given me the talent to do these things, but he said no. Now, I'm extremely thankful for the no's. I am blessed beyond any words that I can tell you. He has honored me to do things and to see things that I don't know anybody else that has done and seen. He gave me a brain tumor. Now, this may mess with your theology, but I don't care. He gave me the gift of a brain tumor when I was 30 years old. He knocked me down. The heart that had been hardened for 30 years, he broke in two. And then he started showing me. There was a young boy in the hospital room next to me, and I was fixing to go into the emergency room. He said, "Son, I blessed you. You have never once spoken to anybody about me. Never once." He said, "It's your choice. They're telling you you have a 50-50 chance. I'm telling you, speak to this boy. It's your choice." I wrestled with him until 3 o'clock in the morning. Then I finally spoke to this boy. I said, "Are you awake?" He said, "Yeah, I'm awake." I said, "Do you know Jesus?" He said, "Yes, I do." Do you understand that he had put that boy next to me for no other reason but for me? Just for me. He went home the next day. There wasn't anything wrong with him. He put him there just for me. I stayed 11 hours on the operating table. Spent 3 weeks in the hospital. Just 3 weeks for a brain tumor. And back then, a brain tumor was serious. Came out. I don't remember how long it was, but I went right back in with spinal meningitis, which was worse. You see, I still wasn't listening. I still wasn't listening. I started reading my Bible when I came out the first time because I thought God wanted a Bible reader. He said, son, this is still not it. I started praying because I thought God wanted a praying man. He said, son, this is still not it. So after the next bout with spinal meningitis, I could still remember waving my head. The fluid had filled my head, and I can still remember waving it back, just like waving your hair back, and it was just like a wave coming back. I still remember 3 days that I lost. I just wasn't there. The meningitis had me. I remember when I finally got it. What he'd been trying to say to me all along is, I don't want a Bible reader. I don't want a church goer. I've got plenty of them. I want you. I want every breath that you take. Every move that you make, I want it. Then he started blessing me. I thought, I started reasoning as I'd done for all my life. Started thinking, well, I know abortion is bad, so it only makes sense that I'll start working with Right to Life. So I still remember one little lady and me starting Right to Life in Jonesboro. He said, son, this is not it. This is good, but I've got people to do this. This is not for you. So I said, well, what is it, Lord? What is it? He said, I'm going to take you in places that I can't take anybody else. I'm going to show you things that you won't believe, and your eyes are seeing them. And at that time, unbeknownst to me, there was 3 bikers coming down from Missouri to collect a debt. They came down and got into an argument with this guy in Mammoth Springs and killed him. Well, they were put in the Lawrence County jail. Again, unbeknownst to me, the chief deputy in Lawrence County, the guy that sat over them with a shotgun, that he, if they did anything, he would have to kill them. God was working in all 3 of our lives. Do you understand what I'm saying? The guy that killed this gentleman, the chief deputy that was sitting there with a shotgun, and me, God, were all, he was all working in all 3 of our lives, bringing us together. We didn't know each other. John got sentenced to 999 years, 999 months, and 99 days in the Department of Corrections. Me and Mike got sentenced to a lifetime in the Department of Corrections. Mike started visiting John, and I started calling for Mike. I didn't know who he was. I just started hunting. I knew God wanted me to go, but I didn't know how to do it. So finally, there was a guy in jail told me about Mac. And I called him. He said, yeah, come on. Come on, I'll take you. I can still remember sitting in his van going to Cummins. Knees knocking. You wouldn't believe it. I was scared to death. God was saying to me all the time, this is it, son. This is it. I still remember standing in front of these big doors at the Varner unit. God plainly said, this is where I'm at. You said you wanted to be close to me. Come on. Come on. So I walked in and there he was. I could see him in all of these men's eyes. I could see him. I could hear him in their voices. I still remember sitting down with a boy. I say a boy, he was probably 19 or 20. At 200 years plus 10. And I sat down with him and it was twilight one night. And I said, how do you deal with this? And he just started crying. I can still remember putting my arm around this young boy. And we just cried and cried and cried. God blesses me. Blesses me beyond anything I can imagine. I can still remember. John, the gentleman I just told you about that was in there for murder. We were sitting in Barracks 5 in Cummins. He pointed to this gentleman next, just right across two or three bunks over, and he said, you don't want to talk to Jesus about this guy. I said, why not, John? He said, because he'll send you to meet him real quick if you do. Immediately, God said, guess where you're going? So we started another battle. I got up and I started walking. Have you ever walked talking to God and you didn't have any idea what was going on around you? You're walking and you're talking and you're just oblivious to everything else. That's the way I was. I walked out, walked down the main aisle of Cummins, turned left, didn't even know I was doing it. Walked up the aisle, through the door, down. I saw a light in the window. I walked towards it because I wanted to look outside talking to God. I said, God, what are you doing? I heard somebody say, what? I looked over, there he was in the bunk right there next to me. God had walked me right where he was. I started talking to him. Next time I come down, I got a message as I was walking down the aisle. He wants to see you. He was in segregation. Now, I don't know whether anybody has ever been in segregation in Cummins or not. I doubt it. But it's got nicotine stalactites hanging down from the roof. It is a lonely, fearful place without Jesus. I went to see him 4 or 5 times. He kept calling for me and kept calling for me. He knows Jesus. He was a hitman called in from Texas to murder a deputy sheriff in Russellville. He had no trouble shooting with a rifle this guy in the head right in front of his children. And this was the one that I was watching come to Jesus. Do you understand how I feel so honored and so blessed? Let me tell you. He only asks one thing of you. Same thing that he asks of me. Do what he tells you to do when he tells you to do it. I keep saying to him, I say, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. His answer is always the same thing. I know you can't, but I can. I remember a blatant homosexual black gentleman, lipstick, long, nice-looking hair. God said, once again, guess where you're going? All my prejudices fell to the floor right then and there. He said, I love him. I love him. And then all of a sudden, instead of telling me, he was showing me how much he loved him. Spent a lot of time with that guy. There was a guy. It was over 3 major hospitals in Little Rock. Well-educated, highly educated man, hospital administrator over 3 hospitals. Right before I started going to Cummins, he killed his wife, murdered his wife. And he'll tell you he did it. He'll tell you straight up he did it. And then he met Jesus in the Pulaski County Jail. Then I met him at Cummins. And I met him once again when I started going back to Grimes this last time. He spent 21 years in prison. The man is godly beyond belief. He started writing down Bible lessons a year after I met him down in Cummins, a year after he got saved. And people would ask him, what are you doing, Larry? What are you doing? And I would go in and I would see him at the podium there in the Cummins Chapel, and he'd be teaching to nobody. He'd just be standing there just giving his lessons to nobody. I said, What's going on, Larry? He said, I don't know. It's just God told me to start writing this stuff down, and I'm writing it down. Now we know why. Through him, the PALS program started down at, well, it started over at Bricky, but it has come to the Grimes unit where I go. The man is the PALS program. What the warden at Grimes describes as the only Department of Corrections program that works. Because he listened and did what God told him to do, even though it made no sense whatsoever. Do you see? I remember Moses. I try to use this excuse all the time. He said to Moses, he said, I'm going to take you right back where you came from. I'm going to take you right back, and me and you are going to deal with Pharaoh. And he started whining just like me, started trying to beg off. He said, God, you know I'm not eloquent of speech. You know I don't speak well. Anybody know what God's answer was? Moses, who made your mouth? Do you understand what he's saying? He said, I'm not asking you to speak. I'm not asking you to say eloquent things. I'm not asking you to do anything other than do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. You open up your mouth and don't worry about what's coming out, because I am speaking. Not you. Me. I've learned that. And there's only one thing that I would ask of you tonight. Do what he says when he says to do it. Don't worry about a thing. I've learned it over and over and over. There is nothing man can do to you. Nothing. There is nothing to be afraid of. He says, I don't give you the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. I have men, their faces just flood past me. And it's just like God saying, look what I've done. What I've done with you. I saw it in Rebecca. I don't mean to. Well, yes, I do. Two or three Sundays ago, she started trying to speak about the girls in CY. I can't tell you what it is, but the girls that she was going to visit, and she couldn't do it without crying. I know why. I know why. See, people say to me, they're just a bunch of drug addicts. They're just a bunch of addicts. My reply is, so am I. So am I. We're just addicted to different highs. I am fully, fully addicted to the feelings that I have and the thoughts that I have when God flows through. I live for it. I live for my next high just like they do. And I tell them, I don't want to change you from being an addict. I just want to change what you're addicted to. So, the only thing that I have to say to you is, he's not calling you to do anything. He's calling you to let him do it. He's calling you to lose your self-imposed inhibitions and self-imposed boundaries to his will. He's asking you to do as Paul said, I will become a fool for Christ and I might win some. I hope you understand.
Thank you, Jerry, for speaking to us tonight. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for the work that you're doing through Jerry. God, just continue to bless the work that he does. Bless him as he does it. Lord, may we get an addiction to something that you give us, something that you allow us to do. Lord, may our hearts be so turned toward you, so in love with you that there's no fear of man left within us. Lord, please give us the willingness to obey. Lord, please help us to keep our eyes on you this week. Help us to acknowledge you daily and to desire intimate time with you each day. And bless us as we go. Protect us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.